are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Good morning, Joy Community Church. I wanted to spend a time to pray for you and your families before I head into our time together in the Word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together on our podcast. We thank you for those who are gathered around to listen today to the Word of the Lord. And we need you in this time of trouble, in this moment of our country where we need the Spirit of God to move in a mighty way. We're asking, Lord God, that this time that we've gathered around your word would be rich, would be help us and strengthen us and enable us, Lord, to proceed through this time of crisis with the mindset of Jesus Christ. Lord, just anoint me, your servant, today as I share the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about having confidence in the midst of a crisis. I'm going to talk to you this morning from Psalm 46. I really love that psalm. So I'd like you to pull out your Bibles or turn on your phones and read along with me. We're going to be reading from the NIV this morning, Psalm 46. I'll read the whole psalm. And the psalm says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. That should give us confidence. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the work of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Well, we have been paying attention and prayerfully tracking the news of this coronavirus, both locally and globally. Recently, this community-wide transmission of COVID-19 has occurred in the United States, various states, cities, and most currently in Monroe County. Joy Community Church wants to make every effort to honor each person's health and safety. So rather than putting people at risk, we've canceled this week's service. And it is my hope that you will continue to follow the government officials and the medical professional updates and their guidance. Now, each week, our leadership team will gather and discuss the current situation, its status, and the status of the virus, and decide whether we'll hold our services and weekly church activities. So we'll communicate that on a regular basis. We'll be communicating through our website, we'll be communicating through emails, and we'll be communicating through various phone calls. It is my hope that you will continue to feel safe and healthy amongst your families. And we're committed as a leadership team to accommodate our congregation and provide prevention of this virus from spreading. I believe this is an opportunity to just confess our fearless trust in the Lord. And as we find our security in God's ability to lead us through this crisis. This is a crisis, and we need to pay attention to it as we are. Circumstances of this magnitude can provoke fear and anxiety and worry and panic. And I want to address that this morning. Those are real feelings to have. And yet I want to address them, and I want to provide some guiding principles that I'm currently using to help me navigate myself, my family, and our church family through this time of crisis. And the first principle that I want to share with you, it's that it's important to understand the facts. There are various facts about the coronavirus that we need to pay attention to, that we still need to learn about. And that's why it's important to listen to the government officials and our medical experts and professionals as well. But it's also essential to exercise our faith. I recommend that you listen to the medical professionals and the government officials as they present various insights and concerns related to the actual virus. However, I also want us to exercise faith as we place our hope, our trust, and our belief in God's ability to watch over us and to deliver us in this time of crisis. My second principle that's kind of guiding me is it's important to be responsible, but we also want to honor our relationships. So it is my goal that our leadership team will meet regularly, we'll pray for the congregation, we'll be available for the congregation, we'll make ourselves available in the sense of ministering to people who need us to come and minister to them or be available on the phone for them. We want to implement plans to keep our community safe and healthy, especially those who are vulnerable and at risk. However, we also want to respect and honor how each person handles situations of this magnitude. Various people will handle a crisis in a different manner, and we want to honor that, and we want to respect that. People will require grace, understanding, and of course, a listening ear to comfort them. And that's what we're here for as a leadership team. Our staff and our elders and our ministry leaders will be available to you. My third principle that is guiding and navigating me through this crisis is that it's important to understand how this crisis will affect our lives. However, we also have been given the opportunity to extend Christ's compassion to others. Though it's a crisis, we now have an opportunity to display compassion. When a crisis occurs, it's usually requires immediate action and implementation. And that's what we're trying to do here at Joy Community Church. Yet a crisis also provides us with an opportunity to extend compassion in practical ways. We have neighbors. We have those who are vulnerable and highly at risk. We have people within our workplaces and our community that are going to require the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I love is that we're a giving congregation. We've been a generous congregation. We're a giving congregation. We're also others-minded. And one of the things that I highly recommend is that you remain safe and healthy, but that when you have been presented with an opportunity to extend compassion, that you'd be willing to do that with those in need. The question that we have as believers and that we need to address today is this: what do you do when a major crisis comes? In other words, how do you respond? And how do you react? And what exactly is the correct measure to take? What are the appropriate steps that should be taken when a crisis comes? You need to know how to deal with it because it's an actuality. Our future events will be influenced by the seriousness of the coronavirus. Psalm 46 presents us with three fundamental issues that we need to consider if we're going to survive during this time of crisis and uncertainty. It lends us the advantage of how to overcome fear, how to overcome the unknown, speculation, change, and various guidelines that can inhibit the normalcy of our lives, and our lives will be changed forever. Psalm 46 sheds light on what we need to do when a crisis comes. And I want to just encourage you this morning, for all those who are listening, I want to encourage you that God will grant you confidence in the midst of a crisis. And he will do that at this immediate time. When a crisis comes, we need to remember these three things. I want to share three things that you need to remember in the midst of a crisis that will give you confidence. And we see, and the first thing I want you to remember is found in verses 1 to 3. And just to recap verse 1, that I think is an awesome verse, is God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And he is still God. He's not going to change. He is still God, and he is our protector. That's what I see in that verse. And what a profound statement that verse 1 is. God is our refuge. God is. That means it's current. That means he is a safe place. He is a safety zone. He is a shelter from danger. He is a shelter in the midst of a crisis and storm. And when we're uncertain of which way is up, which way to go, what to decide, what to do next, we can depend on God to protect, to strengthen, and be available in our time of crisis. We can be confident in the midst of a crisis. We can run to God because he is our refuge, and he will keep us from hurt, harm, and danger. We need to be wise, not worried. Wise and not worried. God covers us in times when we are fearful. As I said, it is natural to be anxious or worried or fearful, but we can allow that to control us or to manipulate us or to cause us to be inhibited in the midst of this crisis. No matter if we are facing danger or warnings, God is there to give us an infusion of his strength. When we are weak, he is our strength. By infusing us with his strength, we are able to face and stand in the midst of trouble. Let him infuse you with his strength today. Just want to encourage you to do that. Just let him be your strength today. Some time ago, there was this fascinating story on the Nature Channel. An explorer had made a tremendous accomplishment. He managed, for the first time in history, to actually record on videotape the birth of a panda cub in the wild. This was amazing, in part because of how violent the mother panda bear can get when intruders are near her young. The newborn cub was no larger than a gerbil. He could actually fit in the palm of your hand. The most amazing thing happened after this baby panda bear was born. In order to protect the cub from the elements and to give the cub an opportunity to grow sheltered from the dangers of the outside world, the mother prepared her enormous body and spread her enormous body across this tiny cub and did not move for 28 days. Can you imagine that? She did not eat, she did not sleep, or even excrete at all during this time. Her massive presence remained steadily hovering over this tiny being. It has since been discovered that this is a common practice when a panda bear is protecting her young, her cub. When I read that story, I said, that is just like God in the midst of a crisis. That's our protecting God as his omnipotent presence hovers over us as a shield from our circumstances in life. This should provide us with confidence in his protection. God is our present help in times of trouble. That means at this present help, in this present time, it really means in the moment. Today, He is an on-time God. And you may need him this week. You may need him today for specific things. I want to reassure you that we serve a God who is on time. He is able and willing to show up right in the middle of any tough situation that you might be facing, and we will witness a significant life change that he can bring in the midst of this crisis we're facing, in the midst of the coronavirus. He is our protector. We need to be wise and not worry. We need to have the facts and exercise faith. We need to realize we have to be responsible yet relational. And we need to realize that this crisis is an opportunity for compassion. And so he's challenging us today to remember that he's hovering over us as we encounter the various difficulties we might be facing at this moment. God grants us, let me reassure you, God will grant you the confidence you need in the midst of this crisis. I look at verses 4-7, and I really see an aspect of the character of God that gives me confidence. And that is this: he still is God, our protector. He's still God, our protector. And we see in verses 4-7 that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. God is our provider. And we see in these three verses that in ancient times, the rivers were extremely valuable resources. They were essential to sustaining the people's lives by making agriculture possible and facilitating trade with other cities. But the problem was that Jerusalem, it didn't have a river. The only water supply was from the spring of Gihon, which was fed from the stream of Shillim. And knowing that their enemies would cut their water supplies, Hezekiah beat them to the punch. Hezekiah wisely closed off the springs outside the city and canceled the water through the, and channeled the water through an underground tunnel so that Jerusalem could have water even through a long siege. We don't know how long this virus is going to affect us, our health, our safety. We don't understand all the various things about it. Those things are being talked to us regularly through the government official, through the New York State Health Department, through the Monroe Community Health Department. So we're getting the information that we require and need to make decisions. But here, God is with us. God realizes what we need and what's important for us at this time. And God will supply our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, because he is our provider. And just as in the days of Hezekiah, God gave him the wisdom, and I talked about that, wisdom and not worry. God granted him, King Hezekiah, the wisdom of what to do to make sure there was water supply available in case they were under siege. And so here he was wise, and he rerouted the watering system, and they had supply, despite the fact that they did not have their own water supply within the city, their own river. One of the things that I was thinking about is this living water, that Jesus Christ is our living water. He flows within us as the living water, granting us the strength and the wisdom and the understanding of what to do next. God the Father is the fountain of living water, according to Jeremiah 17:13. Jesus is the fountain of living water in John 4:14. And the Holy Spirit is the river of the living water, John 7:37-39. In times of crisis, God is a practical God and is concerned about providing the necessary things for our lives. And so he knows right now, folks, he's aware of the practical things that you need each day to survive. He's also aware of where you work and what the requirements of your work schedule are. He also knows that your children go to school and that your children now will be home. And he is going to help you navigate with his wisdom, with his discernment and understanding, and perhaps provide various means for you to care for those things that you're most concerned for at this moment, which are your family and your children and your work environment and those in your surrounding you in your neighborhood. And also the practical things and the supplies that you require to sustain your family in a moment of crisis. God knows those specific needs, and he will supply them. I love what Hudson Taylor said. He said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Let me just repeat what Hudson Taylor said, the great missionary to China. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. That gives me great confidence today. I don't know about you, but it gives me great confidence and reassurance, and it minimizes my anxiety level, my worry, and my fears. I don't have to hoard. I have to trust. And God's going to help me understand what I need in this moment of crisis. There was this powerful story that I found about Corrie ten Boom as she was in the concentration camp in World War II. And she had smuggled her Bible and a small bottle of liquid vitamins into her barracks. Her sister Betsy was sick and growing sicker. But she demanded that Corrie first give a dose of vitamins to all the other sick people in their barracks before she would actually accept any. Corrie tells that a strange thing began to happen. The vitamin bottle was continuing to produce drops. It scarcely seemed possible. It was so small a bottle, so many doses a day. Now, in addition to this, there were a dozen others in our in the actual barracks who were taking it, and it was Corey's instinct always to hoard it, and Betsy was growing very weak, but the others were still ill as well, and it was hard to say, what was happening, and who had fevers and who were cold and who was getting sicker. And so Corrie tried to save it for the very weakest. But even these soon numbered 15, 20, and 25 people in the barracks. And still every time she tilted the little bottle, a drop appeared at the tip of the glass stopper. And it just couldn't be. She said, I held it up to the light, trying to see how much was left. But the dark brown glass was too thick to actually see through. And then Betsy said there was this woman in the Bible. And she had an oil jar, which was never empty. She turned to it in the Book of Kings. And the story of the widow of Zarephath, who gave Elijah a room in her home and a jar of meal, wasted not, and neither did the flask of oil. It didn't run out, according to the work of God that he had spoken by Elijah. Well, she said, Corrie ten Boom said, wonderful things happen all through the Bible, and it's one thing to believe something that happened thousands of years ago, but it's another thing that it's happening now to her on that very day. And it happened that day and the next and several days until an awe little group of spectators stood around watching the drops fall onto the daily rations of bread. And many nights, Corrie ten Boom, she lay on her mattress trying to fathom the marvel of supply that was lavished upon them. And then she whispered to her sister Betsy, "Maybe perhaps only a molecule or two really gets through, and then through the little pinhole, and then the air expands it. I just don't understand." And she heard her sister laugh in the dark, and she said, "Don't try to explain it, Corrie. Just accept it's a supreme miracle from our Heavenly Father who loves us." And I love when I read that story, because sometimes we forget that God, the provider, is a miraculous, supernatural provider. And that's exactly what happened in this story with Corrie ten Boom. And there will be times during this crisis that you will have limited resources, and God will expand what you currently have or your supply, or supply you with the needs that you might have through another person or other resources. So I want you to anticipate with confidence that God is your provider and He is capable of meeting your needs. This crisis of COVID-19 is going to cause us to depend upon God with a whole new level of trust, especially when our daily lives become disrupted and the crisis begins to impact the normal way of life. Over these next few hours, I just want you to gather as a family. I just want you to gather, perhaps even on your own. And I want you to really take an opportunity to just confess to the Lord that you are willing to put your confidence in His ability to supply what you need at this moment. Whether you have health needs, whether you have relational needs, whether you have supply needs, whether you have now family stresses now that this virus is affecting you and influencing how you live your lives, I want you to place your confidence in the Lord at this moment, and I want you to confess with your heart that you're willing to put your trust in the Lord. God grants us confidence in the midst of a crisis. When we look at verses 8 to 11 in Psalm 42, we see that He is still God, the proven one. And if you look at those verses with me, it says, "Come and see the work of the Lord, the desolation He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." He is our God. He's the proven one. I really appreciate that President Trump has declared today to be a national day of prayer. Why, you might ask? Because in times of crisis, God is the proven one. I'm encouraging you at a family today to join with all our government officials and our church leaders here at Joy in an hour of prayer. We're going to enjoy from 11 to 12 having a time to pray for our nation. We're going to have a time to pray for our government officials, our medical professionals, and all those who are responsible to help us at this time of crisis. We want to pray for God's mercy. We want to pray for God's intervention. We want to pray for God to minimize the spread of this disease and virus. We want to pray that God will come and deliver our country at this moment of crisis. And also throughout this week, we're going to encourage a fast for Joy Community Church. Whatever way that you can fast at this moment, that may be just a meal, that may be perhaps spending some time together as a family and praying, that may be turning off your phone, that may be not going out and doing something, but just using some time to focus on the Lord and get your heart and your spirit and your mind in alignment with the word of the Lord, the Spirit of God, and the confidence knowing that He's watching over us during this time of crisis. He is the proven one. And when I look at verses 8 to 9, I see that we should reflect upon God's power. It says, come and see the works of the Lord. Come and see how many times that God has brought us through dangers that are seen and unseen. Come and see the goodness of God. In times of crisis, we have an opportunity to reflect on how God has given us victory in the past. We can reflect on how He brought us out of those times of the storm and brought us into a time of victory. When you feel this crisis is becoming overwhelming, consuming, and taking over your life, remember, God hasn't brought you this far to leave you. He is available. He is the proven one. Come and see the works of the Lord. I love that God is exhorting us to rest in His power. He's saying this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That gives me great confidence today. That gives me reassurance. That gives me courage. That gives me the ability to let go of my fears, my worries, my anxieties. It gives me the opportunity to lean into the Lord and not my own understanding, to acknowledge Him, but to be wise and not be worried. That's what I want to be. And that word, to be still, literally means to relax and to take your hands off of. That doesn't mean we're not to do what we need to do during a time of crisis, but it means that we need to trust that God's going to lead our hands to accomplish what we need to accomplish. It says, be still and let God do what He does best. And that is, He is all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, and all-wise. And He is there to watch over every move we make on our behalf. Notice that the psalmist used the word Selah three times throughout these 11 verses. And this means we need to take a reflective pause. And I want you to look at this time that we're spending with our families today, or perhaps the time we'll be spending throughout this next week together as things have been closing down. And it really is an opportunity to have a reflective pause, because that's what the word Selah means. Selah means a reflective pause. And it means to lift up, to exalt. And whenever this crisis becomes difficult for you to manage and navigate through, remember, God will grant you the confidence to trust, to rest, to be still, and to reflect upon His ability to see you through this time of trouble. I want to invite you to pray and fast this week for our nation, for our city, for our county, for our schools, for all those who are working and providing care for people, those serving in the various department stores, those serving in the medical field, those serving in jobs that are helping us live in this time of crisis. Let's pray for those people as well. God grants us confidence in the midst of crisis. And just a reminder of those three principles that I'm allowing to help me navigate myself through this time of crisis. First of all, it's important to understand the facts, get the facts, but it's essential to exercise your faith. It's important to be responsible and have an action plan, but we also need to honor our relationships and our differences. And it's important to understand this is a crisis and it will affect and influence our daily lives, but it's also important to express Christ's compassion to others in this time of crisis. Remember this, He is still God, our protector. He is still God, our provider. He is still God, the proven one. God wants to grant us His confidence in the midst of this crisis. God is our strength. He is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I'm going to ask you to join me right now in a word of prayer. If you're with your family, I just want you to just join hands. If you're alone, just bow your head. If you're with a friend, hey, join hands and pray with that friend. As I lead you into this moment, I'm praying that you will be confident in this, that He who has begun a good work in you, He will complete it even in the midst of this crisis. Father, we thank You today for this opportunity to listen and hear the word of the Lord. We thank You today that You are surrounding us, that You are caring for us in a very personal and loving way. We thank You, Lord God, that for our country. We thank You for our government officials today. We thank You for all the state officials and our county officials who are putting a lot of energy and a lot of time and concern into discovering what is behind this virus and what we need to do next to be safe and healthy and to be protected in this time of trouble. Father, we pray that You would grant our government officials and our medical professionals, Father, Your wisdom. We ask for Your wisdom and Your insights and Your understanding, Father God, in this time of need. We pray, Father God, that You would help them create an action plan that will help us navigate our families in this time of crisis. And we thank You, Lord God, that You are ever present. And Father, that You will help all our government officials and our medical professionals. You will help them in this time, have the mind of the Lord to lead us and guide us. We pray, Father God, for those who've actually encountered this virus. We thank You that in the name of Jesus, there is healing. And we just pray, Father, that You would surround those who have caught the virus. And we ask, Father, that that virus would not would put them in a dangerous place in their health. We pray for protection, that it won't wear them down. It won't cause their bodies to deplete. But Father, that You would come and be their strength and You would be their healer and You would supply what those people who have caught the virus, You would supply them with what they require at this moment. Father, we pray, Father, that You would be a hedge of protection around each person of Joy Community Church, each person in our work environments, each person in our neighborhoods. Father, You would be the divine protector. You would watch over people, granting them wisdom, not worry, not fear, not anxiety, but wisdom, grace, and compassion to deal with one another. We thank You, Lord God, that You are going to walk us through this. We will grow together. We would learn together, and we'll become stronger together as we stand in the confidence that You grant us in this time of trouble. We bless You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you'll hear from me soon. Take care, folks.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.